Mike Haynes joins us on Sports Byline. Hall of Fame defensive back and punt returner who played 14 years in the NFL, split evenly between the Patriots and the Raiders. And he won a Super Bowl championship with the Raiders, and he is widely recognized as one of the NFL's greatest DBs, and he was a 9-time Pro Bowl selection. Mike, you and I were just talking a moment ago about your heroes growing up, and you said Willie Mays was one of them. Tell me a little bit about what it was about Willie that made him a hero to you.
Well, my stepfather just was a huge, huge baseball fan, and growing up in Los Angeles, you know, of course, we were, for the most part, Dodger fans. But there was just the way that the Giants played, and especially him, the way that it looked like he was having fun out there in the outfield when he was catching balls and wasn't doing things the normal or the routine way. And then at the plate, you know, when he's at bat, he always seemed to do something great there too. So for a young kid who was looking for some excitement in players, and you know, my dad particularly really liked him. I found a lot of joy in just watching him play. I actually had a chance to get a baseball signed by him, but it was at a golf tournament, a charity golf tournament, where they were auctioning off items, and I normally don't get involved in those auctions, but I did for that baseball.
When you think about Jesse Owens, you think about Jackie Robinson, you think about Willie Mays, what did they represent to other African Americans when you had a chance to watch them perform and the way they performed?
Just, you know, change, I think. You know, they represented change, and also it was okay to stand up against, you know, the establishment, you might say. And it was okay to air your opinion, but still, you know, to be a gentleman and to do things that are right. And I guess, you know, there were a lot of leaders like that in my youth, and I'm much older. I realize how much they shaped me and the way I think about different issues. And I've been an advocate of change myself.
You went to high school in Los Angeles. You were a track star there. You were also very successful in the long jump. Did the track help you as far as the mechanics of playing professional football?
I think it did, especially in college when I was at Arizona State and I got a chance to train with a lot of Olympians, guys like Herman Frazier and Carl McCullough, and and many, many other guys, believe it or not, Steve Williams, and so that helped an awful lot, because as a football player, you go up against a lot of speedy guys, and you feel like if you can run with them in practice, and these guys are world class, that you can that would transfer well on the football field. And it helped me out a lot, especially with my technique and learning how to run relaxed and stay relaxed for 60 minutes.
Why did you end up at Arizona State?
It's a long story. I don't know if we have enough time in the show to really go through it all. But I wasn't highly recruited. I was recruited to UCLA for track. I wanted to go to USC, and they didn't offer me a scholarship. And I took a recruiting trip out to Arizona State and just fell in love with it. Coach Cush had a reputation of developing young guys, and they end up being great pro players. I really had no idea that I was going to end up in the pros when I was in high school. We weren't that great of a football team in high school, but I got there because they had a great team, and it seemed like it would be a lot of fun to go there, and everybody seemed to be enjoying themselves, and I didn't really take a lot of recruiting trips as a result of the experience I had there.
Everything I heard about Frank Cush is that he was a disciplinarian. He was a taskmaster. Was that true?
Absolutely. And more importantly, he was honest, and, you know, he didn't pull his punches. If he didn't think that you were trying, he'd tell you. He wasn't really trying to get you to, use psychology to get you to do something. He was just speaking his mind. And I enjoyed that about him. The thing I enjoyed most was he hated to lose. And when I was in high school, you know, my high school coach, thought there was a way to lose with grace and all that. But I don't think I really believed the way that we lost there. I still think you can show disappointment. And, I think it's the right thing to shake your opponent's hand and everything. But it's okay to be upset with the guy who dropped the ball or who fumbled the ball or who missed the tackle. And, you know, you can find a way to help them get better. But I think you need to be realistic about it. And Coach Cush never had any trouble doing that. That's one of the reasons I liked him so much.
Mike, as you look across the landscape, and let's talk college football since that's where we are right now, and you think about the issues, the monies that are out there, how much has that changed the attitude of the college player? Because you know as well as I do, if Coach Cush asked you to run through a wall, you wouldn't even question it. You'd do it. Nowadays, a player will think, well, wait a minute, if I do that, maybe I'm hurting my pro chances or something else. Has it affected the way the college football player looks at the coach and also the relationship they have from a discipline standpoint?
Well, I think this, things have just changed in culture, just in general, not only in sports, but just in our communities even. What we see on television, the different things that we can see and not even, you know, think weird of, where that were just totally unacceptable when I was a kid. So it's altogether different. I actually have always thought that the athletes and college athletes should get paid something. I mean, we were just getting enough money to wash our clothes. And that was it, because our meals were prepared and given to us and things like that. But the school would make so much money on the team, it just didn't seem fair that I was just getting an education and nothing else. And if I didn't get my degree, and a lot of guys didn't, that was one thing I was so happy that the NCAA cracked down on that and made sure the guys were on track to get their degrees, so at least they'd get something out of it. Otherwise, it was just totally one-sided. And I actually would love to see more of a movement towards college athletes getting something. I'm not saying that, you know, they're going to be millionaires or anything like anything close to that, but I think getting nothing doesn't make a lot of sense.
Do you remember the moment when you thought you could play at the next level?
I do. I remember I was a sophomore and in college, and some of the guys I had played with had gone on to pros, and I saw that they were playing well in the pros, and then at the end of my junior year, during my junior years, a lot of guys were doing extremely well in pro football, and I thought, wow, you know, maybe I can make it to the pros. And Bob Bruning, one of our linebackers who was with the Dallas Cowboys after his rookie year, the Cowboys happened to go to the Super Bowl, he came back and said, Mike, you could start on our team. I'm like, really? Super Bowl team? You know, that's incredible. And so it was, you know, it's not like today, though, you know, not quite the same. But I was really, really excited and glad that if I played well the next season, that I would most likely get an opportunity.
Mike, what was the difference between preparation in college for a game and preparation in the NFL for a game, particularly as a defensive back? I say that because I don't believe there was too much watching films at the college level, but that is really the foundation for success in the NFL level.
Exactly. I think that, you know, we did have an opportunity to look at film, but not very much. It would probably be just one day during the week. I mean, we had school. School was the most important thing. And we did have a scout team, and so they would run the other team's plays. But we wouldn't have a lot of film to look at. To try and gauge their speed or what kind of plays they would run against us or what their personality as a team was. So we just really had to learn to play the defense that's called or play that play. And pros is completely different. You know, it's your job. I mean, you take film home with you. Your studying is your opponent, who you're going to be playing that week. Everything that you're doing during the, you know, 8 hours each day is focused on your next opponent and getting ready for that opponent. So a lot more time, probably, you know, 100 times more is dedicated to playing your games on Sunday once you're in the NFL, and rightfully so.
And after being a two-time All-American at Arizona State in the draft, you were picked number one by the New England Patriots. What was your reaction to that?
I was extremely excited, and I didn't really know a lot about the New England Patriots. And I didn't know, matter of fact, I didn't know anything about the New England Patriots. And unlike today, where they fly the top 10 players expected to get drafted early to New York, I was still in bed, you know, when I received the phone call. It was early in the morning, and Pat Horn, the player information director or sports information director for the Patriots, said, Mike, hold on for Coach Fairbanks. You know, I'll never forget it. And, one of the most exciting times for me, but I wasn't with my family. My brother, who was with me, we were roommates living in Arizona. And, you know, we were together and got a chance to celebrate and, of course, call my family members afterwards. But today would be a completely different celebration than it was at the time.
Mike Haynes has joined us on Sports Byline USA, not only an NFL Hall of Fame defensive back and punt returner, but he also has been inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, played 14 years in the National Football League, the first seven with the New England Patriots, and then he went off to the Los Angeles Raiders, and that is where he won a Super Bowl championship with the Raiders. He certainly is well recognized as one of the NFL's greatest DBs and a nine-time Pro Bowl selection. And, of course, he had a teammate, and which we'll talk about in the next segment, who was in that backfield as well, Lester Hayes, and they were one of the best tandems ever to play in the National Football League. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.